If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome
too early, just held it. Go ahead.
Welcome to Two Chunks and a Hunk. My name is Jordan.
This week, I'm Doge. And the punchline is number one in the spelling bean. And you're already laughing because it's such a funny sentence. Even just saying spelling bean is funny.
Number one in the spelling bean.
Number one in the spelling bean.
Sometimes I feel like I can really tap in, but I'm struggling here.
Lock in. Find the joke space.
Well, this one is so
difficult. If
you recall
about 8 seconds ago, I was like, no, sometimes I can do that.
I know, but you just got to tap into the stream. Like, it's
actually
a little
just
harder.
Do it.
Number one
well,
in the spelling bean.
It's harder sometimes. You got to still do it.
Why would they say number one?
Yeah, number one is weird.
Number one in the spelling bean.
What about like one in the spelling bean? Winner of the spelling bean.
I can't tell if it's a hint. Like, I can't tell if it's like part of the joke or if it's one of those things where it's they're like, number one, very best in spelling bean.
Number one in the spelling bean.
One in the spelling bean.
They are our parents.
They're our parents. Spelling bean kumite. Number one in the spelling. In the spelling bean.
Uh-huh. We got about 56 minutes left in this episode, so the clock's ticking.
What? I don't even... This feels... This. My brain is fried. I don't even know how to start a joke
Number one,
to get to
in
this
the spelling point. Bean. The hardest joke in the world. Only 1% can get it. Can you? Number one in the spelling bean.
One joke to rule them all. How did the Pinto? I just need to get it out. I just need
no,
to get
it's good.
It past.
Yes, yes. Get there.
Yeah, did you get something out? How did the Pinto?
How did the Pinto? Number one in the spelling bean.
Okay.
Where do black beans place alphabetically?
Oh, number one in the spelling bean.
I couldn't think of a bean that starts with the letter A.
Great effort.
Great effort. Good, valiant effort from both of you. Both very wrong.
Nope.
What title did Mr. Bean always win in school?
Oh, okay. So it was a case of like, number one, spelling bean.
What title did Mr. Bean always win in school? Number one in the spelling bean.
Pretty bad.
I'm Carter and I've never been in a spelling bee. Have either of y'all been in a spelling contest?
have I been in a spelling contest? You're looking at a triple champ here.
Oh. Just what ages did it? Was this?
I'm sorry. Third, fifth, and then one of the middle school years. I don't remember which one.
Okay. Yeah, right. You remember. Just say it.
I genuinely don't.
Just in class for me. I didn't do like a on stage, you know, card over my neck, parents in the crowd kind of thing. But we had like,
yeah,
class, like, you know, 20 kids class spelling bees.
Do you remember any of the words, Doge? Do you remember your winning words?
I don't remember my winning word, but I remember. So like you started the spelling bee in third grade at my elementary school. It was the youngest you could participate. And I showed up, swang it, and won the third grade spelling bee and was very proud of myself. And then fourth grade, I was like, this will be a piece of cake. These idiots don't know how to spell anything. I'm so much smarter than them. Remember last year? And I got out very early on the word prairie. And I know how to spell that now. P-R-A-I-R-I-E. And in fourth grade, I spelled it P-R-A-R-I-E. And I will never forget that my whole life.
That's prairie. Tough.
Prairie.
That's tough.
Prairie. And then imagine, I mean, like it was like their hero. All the kids in my school, their spelling hero had to go sit down.
They were like, wow, how do we even cope with this?
Prairie. Yeah, it was like the end of Infinity War.
Was that like, was it no hard for you? Left. All the times that we would go eat out in the closest town to our college, which was Grand Prairie.
Grand
was
Prairie?
That driving yeah, it you crazy?
Did. It did hurt me a little bit. It was like a monument to my own failure on that highway exit sign.
That's why you always stayed so motivated.
The town itself mocks me.
That's why I got 100 in college.
You got 100? You graduated with 100?
I got 100 on my grade in college.
Whoa.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't like to brag about it, but.
I got assignment incomplete.
Yeah, that's true.
You got a pending.
They're still like, is he gonna do that or?
Yeah, I got.
They're
B
just
plus.
They're waiting for you in the office.
You want to teach the other ones? Like, sure. B plus though. Okay. Are you sure?
I was invited this week to. Well, I guess technically I was invited many
Brag.
Weeks ago, but it started this week. To a work at my job, a Slack channel. For Dungeons and Dragons with an AI DM created
I've heard these moments.
One of the gentlemen that I work with. And Friday started with a bunch of people kind of slowly trickling in and introducing their characters. And I had been building my character prior to this. And I still, as of today, as of recording, I still have not introduced my character in the channel for two reasons. One, I don't know most of the people very well in this channel. And the character that... So I'm on my own separate screen sort of putting together my background and summary of my character that I was making. And about the time that I was ready to copy and paste it over to introduce it to everybody, I read through some of the characters that were being introduced. And I think what I'm discovering is that maybe there's a different vibe from how I like to play D&D and how some of these people like to play D&D. So what I've done is I've collected some screenshots of my coworkers' characters and mine, and I want you to guess which one is mine.
Oh, this is
okay.
Fun.
Okay, great.
So, you know, with no, here we go. And by the way, I don't think any of my coworkers would listen. If you are listening, I do want you to know that you're doing it better than me. So I'm making fun of me here, but let's begin.
Is yours Fiddlesticks?
It's Fiddlesticks, yeah.
I think that would be a pretty easy
show. Fiddlesticks,
I've
yeah.
listened,
just Fiddlesticks.
Actually listened to most of
Imagine
Dungeons.
Part of me wonders, I think maybe some people are using characters that they play with a lot and like not creating a fresh one here. So that could be part of it, but here we go.
I feel like creating a fresh character is one of the funnest parts of
it. It's like 80% of the fun of D&D is having a new character,
yeah.
So why would you not
yeah.
do it?
It's like, look at this new guy I made up.
There's a lot of video games like that too.
Yeah.
So
I only ever made the houses in Sims. I only ever built the houses.
Sims is not for me.
Yeah.
Sims is not for me. There's no, the combat is way unbalanced for my taste.
If they would just introduce a parry mechanic, I think it'd be a lot more fun.
Yeah, I would love if I could hit like an L1 and conversational parries would be great. Just deflect
them along.
I do like the Simlish versions of other songs, of real songs. Yes. Those do make me laugh quite a bit.
Where are you sending this?
Have you already sent it? I'm reading them.
Screenshots.
I'm reading them.
Mm-hmm. Podcast style.
So yeah, I figured we could do it podcast style, like where people listen. So here's our first character. Leon Brickfoot. High above the mountains in the ruins of an ancient elven temple are the remains of a group of Bladesinger wizards, snow elves, who rely on the tattered remnants of their fallen order to maintain their culture. In the dusk of their culture, they can no longer be picky about who they choose to train. One day, a rabbit folk or Herringen showed up on their doorstep and they resolved to train him to be one of their own. They drilled him for years in the use of magic and the dancing combat that they choose, but his body was not naturally as nimble, nor was his mind as sharp. However, through hard work and perseverance, he managed to complete his training. Now, with his initial training complete, he's been sent on a pilgrimage to see the world with his own eyes. His fur once matched his pale white cloak, but has since adapted to the regions he's traveled in, turning a dirty gray. Mischief is found in his green eyes, and he's never seen without his birth companion, the snow owl known as Crystal. Do we think that's me?
No.
Oh, definitely okay. Not.
Okay. How about...
That's cool, though. I like that one.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's really cool. I really like that.
That might be our DM gauge. I don't know. Could be.
Mm.
It is.
Maybe. in that case, sucks.
Terrible. Let's think about this one.
I hate it.
Aeron Blackthorn, a half-elf rogue. She left a corrupt mercenary guild after discovering their dark dealings and now works alone, or with those she trusts, to dismantle power from the shadows. Her deceptive charm and tactical brilliance make her a dangerous ally and a terrifying enemy. Despite her fierce and cunning nature, Aeron is driven by a deep sense of justice. She fights not only for herself, but for those who cannot defend themselves, protecting the vulnerable and standing against oppression wherever she finds it. Her signature weapon is a jagged dagger forged from a broken sword.
That's a what cool we weapon. That's not you.
That's really cool. That's not you, though.
Oh, okay.
That's cool.
Okay.
That's not
you.
Yeah,
could be. You might be right. Here we go.
Seder Moonbow.
Very cool name. Seder Moonbow, a Seldarine Drow ranger. Moonbow. Born to a nomadic tribe of Seldarine Drow, Seder Moonbow split her life between the shadow tunnels of the Underdark and the moonlit canopy of the High Forest. Raised to navigate both peril and beauty, she honed her senses to read every whisper of the earth, keen eyes trained to spot the faintest trick or hidden threat. A silent and swift huntress, Seder is known for her unmatched perception and sharp investigative mind, able to reconstruct scenes from broken branches and displaced stones. Her antlered crown and cascading wisteria blooms are symbols of remembrance, each a vow to protect the wilds and uncover the truth behind shadows, no matter how deep they run. What do we think?
This is just grown up wild hogs, by the way. This is just like what adults,
right?
Do you in so variants? That's not you either, my friend.
Okay. No, sir. Just a couple.
No, that ain't you specifically because it referenced places with a capital. They would have a capital letter at the front of them, and I know my boy has never read a source book. He won't read.
Why would I do that? We got two more here. Ereleth, a Circle of Stars druid wood elf. She comes from the Elundar, a reclusive wood elf tribe who dwell in the heart of Tel Seren, a forest said to be touched by moonlight even at midday. The Elundar are known for their deep reverence for the stars and their ancient practice of sky listening, a meditative art that interprets celestial movements as divine guidance. They live in harmony with nature, building homes in the trees and tending to sacred groves where animals and elves coexist peacefully. Cool character. Is it mine?
Cool character. It's not my boy.
Oh, interesting.
Who's your favorite sky listener, by the way?
Because you do think Earth is dumb.
I can't say which my favorite sky listener is because it's going to give it away if it's me or not. The point is to guess at the end which one you think is me.
Well, no, Sky. This person is the only one that said they're a sky listener, right? This character.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Al Roker is what I was going to say. Is mine.
Okay, that's good. I'm a Delcus guy myself.
Delcus, yeah.
We got one. This is the last one. So
this is the last one. And
you're about to have to get your guesses
in. I hope it's you. Dude, is it going to be some obscene name? We're going to know as soon as we hear the name. Bubble Butt Johnson.
Dr. Bonkathan Stradivarius III.
Call him Bonk.
He goes by Dr. Bonk. the smartest halfling in his tribe of warrior halflings. Bonk was identified as a child genius and prodigy when, at the age of 10, he discovered that lifting and swinging the entire tree was more effective than simply breaking off a branch. Has a PhD in hitting things, hurting things, and throwing things. Wrote his thesis on the variable and varied relationship between weight of stick and softness of head. A board-certified expert in smashing and trashing. Loves long and deep conversations about hitting or maybe punching. Favorite status effect equals dead. Dr. Bonk is embarking on new adventures as a field study in pursuit of his next degree. He is studying the methods of other fighters and adventurers in order to accurately measure differences in effectiveness between martial expertise, magical prowess, and hitting things really, really hard. So do we think, which one do we think it is? Do we think it's,
I think you, man. Might be Dr. Bonk, dude.
We think it's Dr. Bonk, perhaps. God,
that's so funny.
Dr. Bonk.
Dr. Bonk.
So what are you going to do? Are you going to try and serious Dr. Bonk up a little
bit? No, I'm sending it as is. Yeah.
Yeah, you should.
Sending it as is.
That even makes it more attractive, to be honest.
I was reading through all of my coworkers' like beautifully written, well thought out characters, and I'm just wiping tears from my eyes as I had just finished writing the summary of Dr. Bonk.
Gosh, dude. That's excellent. Oh. Well, as we listen to the sky, I believe we might be able to hear some stars.
Mm.
Let's play a little Star Was Born here in this mid-hot August. Wow. Who would even be born around this time? Who would it be? If you haven't heard Star Was Born.
Really like Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's true.
Or Thanksgiving, I guess.
I am going to give them the year that an individual was born. I'm using IMDb here. And how many credits they have on IMDb. These guys will take 3 educated shots at that archive of credits to try and guess who was born on this day. I'm actually going to do on our recording day for our first birthday. This would be an August 17th birthday. This individual was born in 1943.
Old.
They have 185 acting credits.
That's so many. This person has to have a cool voice.
A little less than one a year, this person.
Actually, we're going to say, let's say 122. I don't know why it says 180. It says 185. Wait, let me take that out.
Let me take that out.
Okay, 130. I took out...
it's about 1.5 per year.
Yeah, about 1.5 per year. No, I will not have us do upcoming. There are 5 upcoming for this individual.
Wow.
122 previous. Sorry, there's 8 upcoming. 128 upcoming. That is bonkers.
So we got 122 to work with.
Hey, let's just get it clean. How many credits do we have to work with?
You have 122. We're not going to do the upcoming ones. There's 8 upcoming.
It's 120.
Great. Yeah, 120. Why not?
0 day. This is 6 episodes for this gentleman. 6 episodes on 0 day. 2025.
Unfamiliar.
Show, never heard of it.
So they're not a good actor. What about big old 100?
Yeah. Big old 100.
Give me a big old 100.
Give me the biggest old 100 old that you got.
You got a big old 100 for me?
Ellis. 2015. Film.
Nah.
All right. Nope.
Okay. Got one more here.
So 100 was 2015. So we've done 22 in the last 10 years.
That's a lot.
Busy boy. A busy boy.
You want to try hit something from the last 10 years and hope that it points us in a direction?
I do. So something between 100 and 120.
We'll split the uprights? We could do 111 because it's 122 technically. So we could do 111.
Yeah. 111.
111. 111. Lucky 111, as they say.
Give me a 010101.
Father of the Bride, Part 3.
How old is Steve Martin?
Not this old.
You don't think so?
He's not in his 80s.
Unless.
This individual is 83 years old. Steve Martin is not 83.
Unless.
He's probably 70.
He's definitely 70. I don't know.
I don't think he's 83.
I don't either. I just don't know anybody else from Father of the Bride that would be in that many things.
Was that Father of the Bride 3, though?
It was the Zoom
part 3, and it's 26 minutes long, and it says in
quotes
after that.
They did it over Zoom during COVID, I believe.
Yeah. You know what? Let's say Steve Martin.
Yeah, I don't know that he's that old, but I don't know who else to do, right? We could just make up a name, but I think Steve Martin.
Martin Stevens.
Martin, comma Steve.
What? How old is the 1943? We're turning 83?
82?
We'll be 82. Happy 82nd birthday as we live and breathe today. And you do too. Robert De Niro. Just big misses on that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
8 upcoming. One of them
I believe Robert De Niro's 82.
One of them being Fokker in Law, which comes out next.
What?
Next year.
Wow, really?
They
Fokker in Law.
They could stop doing that.
Maybe not.
I hope they give it the Force Awakens treatment where they're like, it's true. All of it. All of it. I met the Fokkers.
You can milk a cat.
Let's look up Steve Martin's age. Steve Martin's 80.
I mean,
wow. Man. I was thinking about it because I said no. And then I was like, well, I mean, 1970s SNL, close to 30. Yeah. That'd be it.
I have a birthday here tomorrow. So we're going to get a little bit ahead of it. Like good friends can sometimes. Maybe we're so busy. We're going to be out of town. We still want to be able to say, hey, happy birthday. We're not going to be around. 1978. So we're turning 46. Nope. 47. Turning 47. Born August 18th. Our filmography. For acting credits, we have 117. 117, 5 upcoming. We will not use those. So we're just going to go with 112. 112 credits for this soon-to-be 47-year-old gentleman.
Show me 100.
Yeah. Give me that old triple didge.
3 episodes of...
Okay, we got to stop doing 100. 100's bad.
Never Have I Ever. That's a great show, by the way.
Don't even know what that is.
I don't either. 70.
70.
Y'all can take a little break then if you want. I got to get there.
This part of the show is brought to you by whoever is willing to pay for it. That's right. Whoever's willing to pay for it.
It's for sale. It's for sale.
Start the bidding.
What do brands like
$30?
What do brands like Pringles, Crest, Nike, what do they have in common? They didn't pay for this ad spot. And you're in their company right now. Do you really want to be like them?
Well,
no, pay for an ad spot.
2 episodes.
Okay.
Of Major Lazer.
What is that?
Let's do the most recent. I want to see 112.
Hang on. What year was Major Lazer? What year were those 2 episodes?
2014.
You want to hit it like early?
Like, I was thinking most recent project.
Okay, I could do that too.
I was thinking 112.
112.
I want to know the last thing they did.
112.
12 episodes.
Okay.
2023. Dig Man! Exclamation point.
This is a voice actor.
Gotta be.
And I feel like it's probably like H. John Benjamin or something.
Do you think I would have picked that person? I don't even know who that is.
It's Bob.
Well, I did until you said that.
Thank you.
Will Arnett's older than 47.
Yeah, I think so. How about like a Nick Kroll? Nick Kroll does a lot of voicey stuff.
Nick Kroll could be 47. Don't feel like I've seen him in a couple years. That could be right. He does still do Big Mouth, though, I think.
Yeah. So but Big Mouth would be on this list. No, Big Mouth would be on this list in like when it premiered. Like even if new episodes are coming out, it'd still be when it premiered.
Is that how IMDb works?
If he's going based on IMDb, yeah. I think. I don't know.
I don't think so, but let's do it anyway. Nick Kroll.
I don't know. I have a well-documented history of not knowing how IMDb works.
Let's do Nick Kroll.
Nick Kroll. Lock it in.
Happy 47th.
My favorite thing to order at a sushi restaurant is a Nick
Kroll. A Nick Kroll. That's fun. Happy 47th birthday, Andrew Samberg.
Oh,
if we had gone early, you had about an 80% chance that if you guessed something between 1 and 40, it was going to be Lonely Island.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, wow.
Happy birthday tomorrow, Andy. We'll see you later.
47.
We'll see you later. Now, on the day that this episode releases, I have one final birthday for us to try and identify who it is. We've had a tough start. This individual will be turning 62 years old. Born August 19th. A glance over at that IMDb filmography shows us 90 credits with only one upcoming. We will look at 89.
Give 89 me the age one more time. Credits.
62.
Another boy.
Another individual. Yes, another individual boy.
Okay.
Great. 62 in honor of their birth.
Yeah.
A little ad break.
Hey, it's Pringles. We paid for an ad now, and that means we're better than you.
We heard what you guys were saying, and we were like, yeah, we should get in on this.
It's me, the Pringles guy with the white circle head and the big black mustache.
Well, I'm Ruffles, and I want to get in on the action, too.
Get out of here, Ruffles. Pringles guy.
Get out of here,
first.
Ruffles.
You snooze, you lose, idiots.
Get out of here, Ruffles.
Two episodes.
Pringles is getting fancier as the longer I talk.
Two episodes of Two and a Half Men in 2003.
Okay.
Hey, that was a waste of a guess.
Well, I'm sorry. It wasn't 2003. It was between 2011 and 2015, these two episodes. My bad. Two and a Half Men started in 2003.
80.
Yep.
80. 20 episodes.
Hey.
In a 2021 show of Big Shot.
If I hear the word episodes again, I'm going to lose my mind.
Yeah, this sucks. You want to say 10?
Sure. Yeah, let's do 10.
10.
10.
Show me 10.
The all new Mickey Mouse Club. It is an episode.
A single episode. Very short tenure.
1989.
How old is this person?
62.
Maybe a musician, since they're on the Mickey Mouse Club. Could they have done some music?
At this point in this game, anything's possible. You could say any person. I'd be like, yep, sounds right. I bet they were in 12 episodes of Smish Smosh.
Could have been Smish Smosh season 3. Season 3 had a lot of special guests.
I'm rudderless.
I'll give you a freebie just because it's fun. It won't make it any easier.
Good.
In 2021, they were a voice actor for Spidey and his amazing friends. Tony Stark, Iron Man. They were Iron Man and his awesome friends just this year as Howard Stark. Those are the two most recent credits. Also, Iron Man and Lego Marvel Avengers. Okay. They play a famous person in Muppet's Haunted Mansion. Famous person. It just says famous person. Is it making it harder or easier? Neither?
The same.
Nah, it's still
the
same.
It's like those eye tests. The same.
Yep. When you said voice actor, my immediate thought was like, oh, this might be like Nolan North or something. But I don't think Carter knows who that is to pick that for us.
No, probably not.
Mm-mm.
What about...
I'm bad with directions.
How old again? 60?
62.
62? Denzel, baby.
Yeah, I do remember him being Iron Man.
I don't know. Denzel.
Can you imagine when him he's as like, Iron when Man?
He's like, you come with the Iron Man, you best not miss.
You best not miss. Jarvis.
King Kong. Yeah.
King Kong.
Yeah.
That's your guess, Denzel Washington?
That, right.
Sure, yep. Man.
Yeah. Happy 62nd birthday to John Stamos.
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 Stamos. Yeah. If you stay most, you don't got to get most.
That's what we say around here,
you know?
I would assume his most recent role was buying some knee pads so he could hang out with Trump. Let's go ahead and
Denzel's
pop
70,
over.
By the way.
70. Wow.
Okay.
Wow. Shows what being a good person can do. Keeps you young. Let's head to chat announcements. Welcome to Shout Announcements. It's the part of the show where we give shout outs and make announcements. Shout out to Pringles for sponsoring the last segment.
They love it.
Thanks, Pringles.
They love it.
You just cannot stop. And we hope that's the case with our partnership with you. We love you so much, Pringles, and your smushed together potato scrappins. We think that they're delicious. That's what they wrote, really?
Smushed
together potato scrappins?
Yeah, it doesn't sound very attractive.
Freshly sliced and fried to a delicious golden brown.
I know.
He said smushed together potatoes.
They wrote down right here on the copy, smushed together potato scrappins.
With the Pringles can, as convenient as all the consistent shapes are, you don't really get to have the crumbly in the corner situation that is so charming about a bag of potato chips.
What they need to do at Pringles is take a page out of the Chapstick book and let me raise the base of that Pringles can.
A twisty Pringle, like a
deodorant
Chapstick? Are you kidding me?
Yeah. That's what they really need to do.
God, for more ideas like that, if you want ideas like that every day, go to Discord.
We're constantly dropping.
This might be new to you to hear this from Jordan Wonders. Wow. It's not new to the Discord.
If you were in there
every
and you could read our Pringles channel, you'd already know about
check
this.
Check out the every patent day, channel.
The patent channel. Get on in there. For five bucks a month, you have access to all that stuff. Hang out with us in person once a month. We go see a movie together for the movie club. Hang out with us in the sports world. We play the sports box office ball. Get in there.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah.
And that's, yeah, he didn't even lie, actually.
We do all that. And the other thing we do is we talk a little bit about a movie coming up next.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Your kids could get free or low-cost health coverage from Medicaid or CHIP. Even if you've applied before, they may be eligible now. Kids up to age 19 are covered for checkups, vaccines, dentist visits, hospital care, and more. And if they already have Medicaid or CHIP, remember to renew every year. Visit insurekidsnow.gov or call 877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
We're back. And in honor
welcome of... Welcome to game night. Sorry, I have the floor. Okay. Welcome to game night. Just like every good game night, we're going to start tonight's festivities by listing all the things we don't want to do. I've found a list on thetop10s.com of the top 10 worst board games. I wanted to give Carter a chance to really actually to try and play it this time rather than just throw up some movies nobody has heard of and bail immediately.
Have you heard of the board game Animal Crackers?
Tell me the top 10 worst board games as, well, as collected by Fuad Mondeo.
Oh, Fuad hates Monopoly. Show me Monopoly. People always be like, take too long. Can't, doesn't ever end. How do we end it?
Monopoly. Number 5, Monopoly.
Thank you.
Do I even need to comment? It's so dull.
Dosa.
Candyland.
Candyland. Number 4. This game is lame, babyish, and it lacks replay value. I'd have more fun betting an iPhone as a bounty prize for a game of poker.
Okay.
A bounty.
How about perhaps the game of life?
The game of life. Now, do you refer to the game or the act of living?
The game.
We love life. Not on this list. That's a strike.
Good for them.
Just kidding. I skipped past it. Number 6, The Game of Life.
Hey! Got him again.
Man, you guys know bad board games.
I think most of them are. Most of them are.
Hit me another one.
Let me see. Mousetrap.
Oof, that's a
Mousetrap. Hey, number 1. Mousetrap is the worst board game of all time.
Set it up for 45 minutes, play it for 3.
This game is completely unplayable. The stupid thing never worked. People who created Mousetrap need to either die, kick themselves in the face, or jump off a huge cliff.
Wow.
This is an extremely horrible game.
Ooh. And I can tell they think that.
How about Don't Wake Daddy?
Ooh.
Great pull. Don't Wake Daddy is number 8.
Wow. Come on.
Goodness gracious.
Dude, let's go.
You guys are on fire.
That one gave me anxiety.
Yes, me too. Let's see. You've got 2, 3, 7, 9, and 10.
Well, in that case,
yeah.
I think I'm going to need to see a little sorry.
Dude, that was going to be my next guess.
That's one of me, buddy. Yes.
Share?
Nicholas no Cage matter action. How hard I guess.
Sorry. Unfortunately, sorry is going to be a strike. It's number 15. It's not in the top 10.
Okay.
Does our person, I think they're going to consider themselves very intelligent. And so this next guess might be counter because perhaps they hang their hat on how much they love Scrabble, but I'm going to say they don't like Scrabble.
Oh, yeah. Fair.
Scrabble is number 20.
Okay.
I actually quite like Scrabble.
I do too.
I haven't played a non-electronic, like Words with Friends style Scrabble in probably a decade.
Acoustic Scrabble.
Acoustic Scrabble.
Back when back before money started changing hands, when it was pure.
I am forgetting most other games I know. But let me take a little swing at... Okay. No, that's too. I think it's too niche, this one. I think this one's too niche. I feel as though this particular group of voters would not like... Do I think they'd like it? Trouble.
Double trouble.
Trouble. Bunny Rubble.
Bunny Rubble.
Trouble. Trouble. Number 10.
Yeah.
Trouble. Get it. One strike apiece, only a couple left to fill out the top 10.
Wow.
Trivial Pursuit.
Ew.
Ooh, good pull. Does not even appear on this list.
Big fans
at all.
Of the trivia.
At all. They love it. We're going down to 25.
Wow.
I don't see it.
Wow. I'm taking a swing at one that I had growing up as a kid that I never really liked.
Swang it.
Husker Du.
What is that?
Is it about corn?
That's the one 2 rounds ago that I was like, it's too niche. And then I didn't do it. And then I was like, we're taking too long.
It's definitely not on this list. So obviously you had to know it was going to be.
Is it about corn?
What?
No, it's like a matchy game.
Husker Du. What?
It's like a matchy game.
Pronounced Husker Du.
I don't think so. And you
in Danish, Husker Du, pronounced Husker Du, means do you remember?
And you
Husker Du that one time. I don't think I want this to be my last guess.
It might be though, if you don't get it right. It could be strike three for
all right, dude. I'm just gonna go with Parcheesi.
Parcheesi does not make the top 25. That is a third strike for Carter. Jordan, can you go strike for strike?
I think they hate
you guys. Oh, that's an interesting choice for this website because Catan does not appear in the top 25 either. You guys overall did really well.
I don't know if that was a board game or not. Go ahead.
Oh. What was that, Carter?
Operation. I didn't know if that was a board game or not, technically.
That would be number two, Operation, one of the ones you didn't get. You said all of them except for Operation, which was number two, and Backgammon, which was number seven.
I thought of Backgammon too.
And Trump the Game, which was number nine.
Trump the Game?
The comment, made in America, except the dice in China, the components and gameplay are as ugly as he is. It's Donald Trump, so you know it's awful.
Hell yeah. Top tens. What? Hell yeah. Let's go, dude. That's sick. I'm back in on top tens. I was sort of like, I'm back in on top tens.
It's awesome. A great website. We love it.
Let's get more. I want more political top tens from top tens. Let's get a little spicier next time.
Hey, I'm sure they're there, and I actually don't want to look for them. I don't want to lift up that rotting stump.
Top ten least favorite cabinet members.
Yeah, it could be pretty dangerous under there. We're talking Game Night, the film directed by John Francis Daley, starring Jason Bateman, Rachel McAdams, Billy Magnuson, starring Lamorne Morris, starring Coach Taylor. Starring so many of our favorite people, and it is, for a reason, it was chosen to kick off our little run of comedy movies here. We'd all seen this before, yeah. This was none of our first times watching.
I'd seen it.
I think I saw it in theaters. Did you really see it?
Oh, fun! Mm-hmm. This is a fun theater watch.
I didn't see it in theaters. This one slipped under my radar until it was available to rent. On the interweb.
On the webs.
I think something that this movie serves to set us up to talk about at the very top of this is like what defines a comedy movie? Like how do we identify something as a comedy? Because there's a lot of movies that are very funny, but like Where's the line between comedy, action comedy, or a movie that has comedy elements? Horror has similar conversations around it pretty frequently where it's like, is this a horror movie or is this a movie? Like, is Annihilation horror or is it something else with horror scenes? You know what I mean? And so—
That's a great question.
What I'm is glad you asked Game it. Night?
Here's I would the say— answer to that.
Yeah.
Oh, you go ahead.
I was going to say you were asking Game us. Night is shockingly, I think, an action comedy. I think it's in the same vein as like a Kiss Kiss Bang Bang or a Scott Pilgrim.
Imagine you've gone to a fancy restaurant. And just name a fancy restaurant.
Applebee's. Red Lobster.
Great. At Applebee's Red Lobster. It's an Applebee's Red Lobster fusion. Kind of like how they had the KFC A&Ws.
Red
this
Apple.
Is one that's Applebee's. It's a red. it's Lobster Bees.
Lobster Bees.
And here at Lobster Bees, we have a menu item. And it's called the blue cheese salad. Now, you order this. It's not mostly blue cheese. It's actually mostly lettuce. But the blue cheese on it is so powerful and dish-defining. That's what we're calling it. We're calling it blue cheese salad, even though it's not all blue cheese. That's how I feel Game Night is. That's something that's interesting about comedy. Comedy can be the blue cheese salad.
No,
it can
that's
be
good.
The extra, the special sauce where it's like, this is not the main thing, but it is so experience-defining that it is the first thing you think of.
Yeah.
Mm.
It's like a hot honey pizza where it's like,
this is a pizza. There's going to be a lot. There's going to be sauce and cheese and toppings on it for sure. But the thing that stands out is the hot honey.
And there's something like surrealist about this approach that I think lends itself really well to like this. It's like this they lampshaded at the end with Jason Bateman being like, that's a real cutesy three-peat, or like, that's a real cutesy full circle moment. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of that line is kind of the entire movie, where it's just like this surrealist metaphor for their lives told through this elaborate game that it also is kind of poking fun at Fincher's The Game a little bit throughout the entire movie.
Yep.
Definitely. But it, like, I don't know, for whatever reason, this is, to me, this is the perfect example of like a tightrope movie where it's like a couple missteps, a miscast, somebody playing it too serious, and this movie could entirely fall apart, much like a Jenga tower. Mm-hmm. But I think everybody here plays exactly the way they're supposed to play it. I think the script is exactly what it needs to be. And the tone is consistent enough that this movie really works for me.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah.
Because it's... this is as much action comedy as Clue is like comedy mystery. I think they have similar...
Yeah.
Like, it really is kind of built around an action movie, whereas Clue is built around a mystery. And it made me think of Clue in that one game. I guess we liked Clue on that top 10 list. Two, how distinct our characters are. I think that makes a really good comedy. This couple will 100%. Always bicker about this for this 90 minutes. This individual will always be dumb, you know? And I love a good drawn out. I think a good thing too. Yes. A good thing too with Game Night, that there's another consistency here between, or a comparison between comedies and horror, is that in both of these genres, there's the things that keep working. It's like, but you could do them wrong. There's like the horror shtick or the comedy shtick. And then there's the new thing that makes it sexy. And you're like, okay, that's really different. And it makes me laugh a different way, or it makes me a different kind of scared. We have, you know, there's always the scene. There's so many scenes I thought of like lead with pet, and it's just crazy.
Sure. Yeah.
Or there's the long drawn out scene. That's like that. There was no business for the cash being pushed across the table for 2 minutes. Right.
Takes so long, dude.
Things that we've seen before. That's like, if it's done well, you're never going to get tired of it. Comedy kind of has a little tip of the hat to like, hey, we know this is, it's a little spin on something we've seen before. But then to have it just be, I think really so much of what was different about this as an action comedy was the way that it was shot. I think there was some really creative ways and real creative editing and cinematography that
our
made
cinematographer
it a little
clearly
more fresh.
Clearly had a ton of fun with this. Like the aerial exteriors are all tilt shift, which is a shooting technique that sort of forces the perspective to look like things are miniatures.
Kind of like a game piece.
Perfect.
Yeah.
All of our like chase sequences, our vehicle shots are like anchored behind the vehicle as if you're driving in like Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah.
Like very clear and intentional nods to specific like visual styles that immediately scream
game. My favorite shot in the movie is unlocking the door with the broomstick. Same. Tracking the lock as it turns is so cool.
It's really cool.
Really fun.
Such a sick shot. Standout sequence for me is Rachel McAdams trying to do bullet surgery on Jason.
Tapping the bone. She's like, what is that? What is that? And he hits her with what could it be? While she's tapping the bone in his arm.
His delivery when she's like, they didn't have rubbing alcohol and they don't sell hard liquor, so I got you this nice shard. And
he's pivot.
Way to pivot, baby.
Yeah. That's the thing too.
There are so many lines in this movie, dude.
We have such a good, strong cast of like secondary characters, but I do think what really drives Game Night is our leads around that relationship between Bateman and McAdams.
100%.
Who, you know, I think we would know Bateman more to be comedy. He's in that most of the time, but he's also done Ozark. He's had his touch of drama, and then McAdams is just super well-rounded.
Unbelievably,
you know,
he
starred in the rom-coms and all that stuff, but. They were so funny, and just their whole dynamic the whole time was perfect. And they let us know it's ridiculous from the start. I think there was no, if it was tonal shift, it was on purpose from the beginning of this movie. And there's the moment too, like no one's ever going to be like, where are the other people in the world? Are there other people in the world besides these 10 people at this game night. Nobody's like, why is there only one cop showing up to clearly on a bridge with several apartment buildings?
Yeah.
People looking like they're about to be executed, you know, but it doesn't really matter.
It's this perfect blend of like really, really predictable and really, really ridiculous that I think works in a way that makes the movie feel kind of like charming and scrappy. Mm-hmm. Even though it's, you know, got A-listers out the wazoo, but it still feels small and like approachable. I do think if we can we just sort of, can we Farley just for a minute about some of our favorite moments from this? Because this movie is like chock-a-block full of really funny, like small moments. Mm-hmm. And I think we have to mention Tostitos just because it is like the thing I remember about this movie all the time.
Such good writing. Early too.
Pull out the 3 bags of Tostitos scoops when they're lying to Jesse Plemons about game night.
And how is that profitable for Frito-Lay?
The way he talks.
He's so great.
Is crazy. That and his fadeaway when they show up at his door to play Jenga and he invites them in and then just sort of backs away into the house.
Yeah.
They tell Billy Magnuson's character to go in. He says, "I'm scared." Oh man, yeah. Jesse Plemons is absolutely delightful. I think strange
Plemons
neighbor.
And Magnuson are my MVPs for this because like every single thing
agreed
that they both do is the funniest thing I've ever seen somebody do.
Himbo is an underappreciated art form. I think being able to like sell himbo.
Yeah.
Is not easy. I think it's easy to be dumb and I think it's easy to be silly, but being dumb and silly and charming at the same time. And he really disarms with the honesty that he has with Sarah at the end in the car.
Yes.
Yeah. He's like, "Oh, I do like you." And she's like, "What?" He's like, "Oh, should I not? I shouldn't have said that." Or like, "What?" Yeah.
When she bites him,
yes.
He like under his breath goes, "Oh, that really hurt a little."
Lipstick. Points it out to her still. Yeah. Also, Jeffrey Wright for the 3 minutes he's on screen.
Yeah, come on.
He's like hamming it up.
He's brilliant in the little time that we have of him. His nonverbals and his gestures and stuff. Like the way he's got like
T-Rex arms.
Oh, yeah. It's so funny. It's really good. One of my favorite scenes is the recounting of sleep, the one night stand with Denzel Washington.
Yes, dude.
And it's like, hey, that's clearly, that is not Denzel. That is not Denzel.
Did you stay, have you ever stayed and did you stay until the credits were over this time?
Oh, no.
I have, yeah.
At the very, very end, after the credits, we open up to the gas station and Denzel is there and he's like, "Yeah, my name is," and he like says whatever his name is, and he's like, nobody ever asks. Everybody stops me and always says, "I know who you are." And we hear a woman like laugh, and she's like, "No, that's crazy." And he's like, "Yeah." She's like, would you want to get a drink sometime?" And he said, "Yeah, I would love to. By the way, what's your name?" And the camera pans, and she says, "It's Debbie." And it's Jesse Plemons' wife meeting him at the gas pump.
That's really funny.
That's great.
That is so
good. We should talk about the credits a little bit because a lot of creativity and love went into the credit sequence for this movie. Mm-hmm. In Jesse Plemons and Gary's like planning room, we have a real like red string connected on corkboard scene of him planning out his entire portion of the fake game night, the kidnapping, and sort of marching through his plans, and there's miniatures of everybody. There's evidence from the Frito-Lay Corporation that they do not do 3-for-1 deals on Tostitos scoops. It all comes together in a really hilarious way at the end of this movie.
Such a great movie. I'm really glad that we decided to watch it.
I am too. Something that's interesting that I'm going to be on the lookout for now, I think especially if there's more movies in this series that we talk about that we have actors that are coming in that are have been established in well-known series. But it does feel like because Jason Bateman is here, we get the Arrested Development asides of how ridiculous is what's going on right now, right? Like, make a comment about Jesse Plemons still being in his uniform all the time? Yeah. Or do we just have a little...
Yeah.
And then also... Well, I was going
to
say,
I think a testament to the fact that Bateman is sort of still playing Michael Bluth here.
Yeah. And
like it's kind of the same.
I would say almost always.
Morris is for sure still playing his character from New Girl. It's the that's the exact same too. And so we had plenty of that. Like him stacking up the stuff to try and get to the
it felt like we had
bits of New Girl too. Also real quick, the Bulgarian being Michael Hall is pretty funny.
Yes.
Pretty
that's funny. Very funny.
Because he's done Dexter and it feels like they're, he's about to cut him up. It's like, this is so crazy that it's you. But
the first time y'all watched, did you bite the bait of Kyle Chandler's like, and that's game night at the end? Did you?
Yeah, I
fell for it hard the first time.
I did too.
It's, what an approach. This is, I think it's great that we started here too, because I think in the scheme of like comedies, this is not super bad. You know, like this is not this is not one of those like all-time greats, and yet I think it deserves more conversation than it gets and more recognition.
100%. I wish more people had seen it. Yeah.
Worth
a watch. Let's rate it.
Okay.
On the scientific cinema scale. Which is perfect. And as follows. The best thing we could ever say about a movie is own it, don't lend it, buy that poster. The next best thing is buy it. That's followed by rent it. And then stream it. After that is forget it. And last but certainly least, the worst thing we could ever say about a movie.
God hath forsaken us.
I think I'm buying it.
It's a buy for me too.
Yeah, I think I'm buying it. Yeah. And I think quality-wise, it's a rent it. But I think for me, it's a buy it.
I'm going to say high rent.
Yeah,
it's almost a buy for me.
That's where Link is from.
High rent.
High rent. High rent.
I think that's buy for me too.
Lank is from.
Go Lank.
Lank and Zedla.
Ginogorf. Yeah, it's a. It is like the perfect amuse. It's the perfect amuse to the bouche of the rest of this comedy series. And I'm really
glad
we started.
The best way to amuse your bouche.
I love, if you like me, love amusing your bouche, then I would suggest you start. Have y'all seen all those food review places that are like, if you like cheesy explosions, then you simply must try the Blaster Burger from Las Vegas's very own Burger House and Inn on corner. And like, they all talk like that. And they're like, they start off by throwing 3 burger patties in the deep fryer using the sauce from last night's Hot Cheetos explosion. Then and they like walk you through the nastiest sounding food you've ever heard in your life.
Gross.
Every single recipe, every single food item on those like TikTok channels, YouTube channels look like they would give me instantaneous diarrhea.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a little bit like watching a nature documentary where it's like, if I encountered that in the wild, it would kill me.
Yeah. It's like, it's good to know that someone knows how to deal with this.
Yeah.
Like, I'm glad that this guy knows that this is what you do when you see this bear, but I'm dead.
Sure. Yeah.
And I know
that. I'm not going to swim with a barracuda and I'm not going to eat the cheesy blaster.
No. Well, I would get a cheesy blaster. If we're talking 30 Rock cheesy blaster, I would try.
Oh, yeah. But, you know,
we'll see. Anyway, next week we're talking about Pineapple Express. That's a Carter. I was going to say swan song. That's a Carter love song. Carter loves this movie, and I'm very excited to watch it. I haven't seen it since probably 2013, 2014, perhaps.
It's so good.
It's been a long time, so I'm excited to give this one another round. But tune in, jump into the Discord, chat with us about your favorite things. When the dog bites or when the bee stings or when you're feeling sad, you can jump on in to the Discord and be reminded of your favorite things, including us, and you're one of our favorite things. And we love you very much. And as we end every episode, we'll say this. To laugh is to love. And to love is to truly live.
Mm. I think it's cool how we don't get to say our names this time.
Oh, I did.
It's too late now. It's hard. The music started. It's playing.
We've got Laugh, Love, and Live. For Two Chunks and a Hunk, say your name and which one of those you prefer. You prefer the most. For Jordan, it's Laugh. I'm Jordan, it's Laugh.
Doge, I'm a Live guy.
Hey, Carter, Love guy. Real talk.
Wow.
Yeah. We're like those monkeys that cover the parts of their face.
Hear no laughter, do no living, feel no love. But then we're like, actually, psych. And then we remove hands and we hold hands with each other. And we're like, do all of the above. And then we ascend. Dang. So, see you next time.
So that's it, probably.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.